The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray normally not with us on Friday, but so Ray is filling in for Tom Fairbanks, who's normally engineering and producing the show. Good to see Ray, a familiar face there on the other side of the glass on this Friday, November 3rd, 2017. By the way, the program re-airs on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, and we are live on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice, we've got the whole live stream deal, you know, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, or kvoi.com. Friday, we do a media partner shout-out, TucsonSentinel.com, supporting us. Thank you. Green Valley News and Zaharita Sun. Tucson Media Group has joined, linked up with us. That includes Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer, Marana News, Foothill News, Desert News. Other media partners include Southern Arizona News Examiner and David Morales and his Three Sonorans blog. Our Friday Focus interview today, Mike Varney is with me. Mr. Varney, President and CEO of the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Joining me on the live line is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. First of all, Sarah, ladies first, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me, and I'm sorry I can't be with you there in person. I'm having a insurance situation with,
oh boy.
And so if my doctor's office calls, I may have to take that. I'm sorry to say, but
we understand. It's live radio. Mr. Varney, how are you, Mike?
I am super, Bill. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today.
You look great after 5 weeks doing the El Camino, the road in Spain, and that was about, I don't know, over 300 miles that you did.
It was 370 miles.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Life-changing experience.
Yeah, it's transformational.
Transformative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I highly recommend that the Camino de Santiago to anyone who has got the time and just wants to go off and do a little self-discovery.
Was there anything that kind of a common thread other than people really wanted to do some thinking, you know, and get away? And transition, would that be a key?
Transition was actually, ironically, that's exactly the word I would use. That I talked to people from all over the world while I was walking the Camino, and the one theme that just kind of seemed to pervade most of the conversations was people were in a state of transition.
Like you.
For me, between work and retirement. For other people, between jobs or just wondering what they want to do with the rest of their lives, between marriages, just all kinds of in-between situations. So transition's a good word.
Okay, and you are going to be transitioning pretty soon here. We're going to know about a new head of the Tucson Metro Chamber. Without making any big announcement here on the program, what can you tell us about the new person?
I can tell you that the board has done an outstanding job of taking their time, being very deliberate, very careful about identifying just the right candidate to succeed me at the Tucson Metro Chamber. They have narrowed the search down to a final candidate. I believe, with any luck at all, that the negotiations between the search firm and the board and the candidate will be concluded here in the next few days.
Sarah, jump in. The water's fine.
hi, Mike.
Hey,
wanted to ask how you think with the Amazon pitch that Pima County has made, Sun Corridor, Tucson, and I guess ultimately the Arizona Commerce Authority. Can you kind of fill us in on what the status of that is, what was involved in the pitch to try to get the Amazon HQ2 to our fine region?
Sure. I wasn't involved in the preparation of that, the pitch, or in making it at all. That's a Sun Corridor and Pima County and ACA activity. So I don't know those details, Sarah. What I do know is that Tucson, I'm sure, and that collective entity put everything they possibly could into their proposal. I do know that the field of regions and cities that are proposing is very, very crowded, very small cities all the way up to major cities. Chicago, I know, has a stake in that whole process.
It's 275 cities.
275,
that's
okay.
The
I didn't
last,
know that.
Last count.
Yeah, I just knew it was a ton.
There you go. It's a ton.
So it's a very crowded field. I would imagine that Amazon, if the process goes like they normally do, will take that 275 and whittle it down to a handful of serious contenders on the short list and then continue their negotiations. But I don't know. Usually when site selectors start examining their choices, there's certain criteria that they look for. These become the filters. You know, are you close to a coast? Are you close to major transportation? Do you have a workforce? Do you have a major university in your community? There's just a host of different things that they use for filters. So the fact that Tucson has a proposal on the table tells me that we've at least can qualify at the initial stage, but obviously a lot of other cities do too.
As far as these surveys that come out, and they've been all over the block on Tucson, MSN.com, Tucson ranked the worst city in the state of Arizona in which to live. It makes it sound like this is like one of the most horrible places in the world to live.
Yeah. I got a kick out of that. If I remember correctly, Bill, they used two statistics to form their conclusion. Maybe three, if I'm not sure. It was two or three statistics, and the two they picked happened to reflect poorly on Tucson. I noticed that climate wasn't one of those.
No, there were three. You're right. High poverty.
Yeah.
Employment. We have a large unemployment rate and slow economic growth. Those were the three.
Yeah. So there were a lot of other factors that could have been in the mix, in the soup. We've been declared a great city for millennials and have been recognized in a number of other surveys as being very, very positive, at or near the top of the list. So I think when you see a survey that comes out like that, the devil is always in the details. And if you look at the details of this survey, I don't think many people would agree that it's an accurate reflection of our totality here.
Sarah?
So coming up on Tuesday is the official election day, and Proposition 204, the Strong Start Tucson proposition for the half-cent sales tax that would go to pre-K education, high-quality education within city limits. Your organization has taken a position on that, right?
Yep, we have.
And it's against?
Yeah, we oppose Prop 204, yeah.
So and so the Arizona Daily Star's editorial board reluctantly did as well, but not because of the goals, but because of the way it was structured.
Yep.
But the question is, if it is defeated, I think the people behind it make a really excellent and valid point, saying that no one else is out there really doing a lot of anything that is very focused on early childhood. I know we have First Things First. There's some other things going on, but nothing of this scale. So what will your organization do? What kind of priority will it make to address this concern if it does go down?
Hard to answer a hypothetical, Sarah, but let me tell you that while I wasn't there when the Star made its editorial decision on the proposition, I do know that the Tucson Metro Chamber chose to oppose this for the same reasons. And for anybody who's a casual observer of Prop 204, you might come to the conclusion, well, if you oppose Prop 204, you oppose early childhood education, or you oppose education in general. Anybody who has paid attention to the history of the Tucson Metro Chamber and its staunch advocacy for more education funding, for the expansion of JTED, you can go right on down the line, all the ways that we support higher education and K-12 education. We are a total supporter of education. We oppose this measure simply for the reason that it was extremely poorly written. And I can go into as many of those details as you want, but if you were there at the table when the STAR made its same decision, I'm sure you've heard many of the same reasons. There's no controls. It's a permanent tax. It's not a five-year sunset on this, so that we in 5 years we can say, how is this thing working, and maybe choose to renew it or not renew it based on its success. It's a $50 million a year revenue stream that looks like it's going to go to a single source. 8% administrative fee is a $4 million gift to that particular organization, and there's no accountability. There's no targets. There's no measures. So, there's no nothing.
So I think that, we agree on some of the structural things, like lack of a sunset being a problem. But I guess I don't know that it is hypothetical, because I am looking past this, and I think if one of the things, from what I could tell, no one else, no other group was getting something like this, and there's a going and doing the work of mm-hmm. the initiative, things like that. And I think there's a difference between support and action. And you're right, your organization has been very supportive of public education in the past. I'm wondering, if not this, then what? If we can all agree, as people say, that this is a really big priority, yep. early childhood education. So I'm just curious, yep. what do you see happening?
Well,
you know,
frankly, let me tell you what I hope happens personally, and I'm not speaking in an official capacity for the board right now, mm-hmm. because that crystal ball is always cloudy until the details are revealed. But if this organization or any other organization were to take another run at this and draft the language much better than they did this first time around, I think there's every reason to believe that the Tucson Metro Chamber and, frankly, private citizens and other organizations would take a new look at it. I don't need to be sold on the value of early childhood education, but when we ask taxpayers to reach into their pockets and pay for something, we can't just ask them to reach into their pockets and continue to contribute to something that has no measures, no sunset, no accountability, and that is single source.
All right, we're going to take our break right here at 12:16 on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Mike Varney of the Tucson Metro Chamber sticks around for another segment, and Sarah Garrett-Gasson with us on the live line hopefully will be with us as well for another segment. We will be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash, plus our monthly visit with retired U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition. Mike Varney, CEO and President of the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. Perhaps there will be an announcement within a few days that Mr. Varney will be the former CEO and President of the Metro Chamber. Apparently, the board is very close to signing off on someone new, and we'll hear about that probably very soon. We were talking with Sarah Garrett Gasson, who is still with us from the Arizona Daily Star, editorial page editor and columnist for the Star. We're talking about the election. I noticed that the chamber board is all in on TUSD as far as their effort to get $180 million improvement in bonds. We had Dr. Trujillo on the program, and I'm very impressed with this man and certainly hope he sticks around. This guy really, he's got a big job. There's a lot of red ink there, and he knows that the declining enrollment is an issue. But Mike Varney, he has, he's doing his best. I really believe that.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. And we wish him great success. He's got a big job to do, and it's a very important job to do. And we certainly would hope that he meets with the highest level of success.
Some of your other endorsements, City Council Ward 3, you liked Gary Watson. You like Gary Watson. If Mr. Watson were to be elected in Ward 3, I believe he would be the first independent candidate I think we've ever had on the City Council. I could be wrong about that, but that's just a gut feeling. You also like Richard Fimbrace, and let's see, you took a position supporting mayor and council salary increases.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to pass. Usually those things don't.
Well, we don't know if it's going to pass either. We think the principle is very sound, Bill. You look at Mayor Rothschild. Look at him as the CEO, so to speak, of Tucson. He's making now a salary somewhere in the high 40s. His new salary would be somewhere in the high 60s. Find me a CEO of a $1.4 billion organization that is paid $65,000 a year or $70,000 a year, or the current 40-something per year. I mean, it's and you look around the state and you look around the country and see what mayors and council people are paid, and they're paid a lot more than we pay our council people. A lot of people make the knee-jerk connection between, well, they didn't vote for something that I wanted to see passed, and so therefore they're not worth another nickel. Well, you're never going to find any council person or a mayor that supports everything you do or opposes everything you do 100% of the way down the line. We certainly don't see that. We have our areas of agreement and our areas of disagreement, but we just simply can't attract the kind of talent that we want and need on our city council at $24,000 a year. And so we think we'll open up the pool of candidates, get more people interested in being on the city council, make the salary restriction, which is very restrictive right now, go away. We just think it's sound government to make sure that we've got people who are earning a decent salary for the effort that they put in. Even though the council position is supposed to be a part-time job, it's not. Anybody that knows these council people, they put in long, hard hours.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson from The Star, join us, please.
So with the city council and mayor salary increases, I think when you talk to people who are living in Tucson, you think $40,000, that's, you know, pretty good for Tucson. I'm not saying it's an executive level salary, but for a lot of folks in Tucson, the gut reaction is, well, that's a lot. That's a good living. And I think that sort of affects how people see it too, especially if you are not up at that salary level, because that's around median. I'm off the top of my head, but it's can be good for a Tucson salary. But the other question I have is something that you touched on, Mike, was the ability to attract better candidates, better people for the city council. Can you think of, do you have a example or a situation where you think that came into play either in not, I mean, are you saying that the folks we have now on the city council are less qualified or less
No.
good at their jobs because of the salary? And is there an example of someone you know who maybe was thinking about running and then the salary they couldn't make it work?
I can't give you an example, Sarah, and if I said better, I should have said bigger pool of candidates. And who knows, you know, what kind of quality would come out of a bigger pool, but we would definitely enlarge the pool of people who could consider elected office as a city council rep. So we just think that there's a lot more positives built into this kind of an increase, especially when you compare what our elected officials make compared to other cities in Arizona. Forget other states.
Or even Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Sure, yeah, even against the board. These are important positions. The decisions that they make have far-reaching consequences. We want to make sure that anybody who has an interest in running for public office is not turned away from doing that or turned off by doing that simply because they could not support their families.
You know, getting back to Tucson being a low-wage town, that has been kind of the rule here. It's been, like it or not, it's been a low-wage town for decades. So I just, in the remaining minute, a couple of minutes, kind of what do you see as the future? Are you optimistic about this place?
I am. And
are you going to still reside
I'm going to live here. I'm going to live in the summers. I'm going to live near my 8 grandchildren in another state. Have a little place there, but I'll be here for the majority of the year. And I'm bullish on Tucson, Bill. I think we have probably only scratched the surface of our potential here. There's some things that we need to do to get our house in better order, that's for sure, but that's true for any community. But we are right on the verge, I think, of potential breakout in terms of putting all of the wonderful assets that we have together. Just got to fix a few things to get there, but I'm really, really bullish on Tucson and Southern Arizona.
And why is that? Why are you bullish?
I am bullish because we're starting to see more and more activity of companies looking at this city or the region, certainly, because of what they're finding here. I think if we if the new president at the University of Arizona follows through on one of the responsibilities he's accepted about infusing the University of Arizona into the community and forming a stronger partnership, a public-private partnership, so to speak, that we can take a lot of the assets that the University of Arizona has and put them to work for companies that are already here and for future companies. We've got great organizations here that are working to solve Tucson's challenges and to enhance our assets. So it's a lot of different things. Let's not leave out climate. You know, a lot of people move here in retirement because they love to live here. Well, you don't have to retire to live here. You can live here while you've got a great paying job. And the question I thought you were going to ask me that you didn't was, what's the solution to increasing our wages here? Well, number one is we got to solve our education issues, and we've got to have more educated workers in our community. But we also have to diversify our local economy. We need more of the manufacturers. We need more of the high-tech companies to come here, and with them come the high-tech or the high-paid jobs.
And quickly, we'll go to the live line. Carl has a question along those lines. Carl, I'm out of time, but I do want to get you on about low wages. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. You've had a chance to bring in high technology and high-wage jobs. You had that with Rosemont, and you drove them out. The University of Arizona has a major geology and mining engineering program, but the people can't find jobs here, so they go out after they get their degrees. And other companies look at that, and they react to it. And, you know, what can you do about that sort of thing other than changing attitude? I don't see that happening.
All right.
Quick comment on that, Carl. I'm not so sure I know what you mean by we drove them out. Rosemont is a project that is still alive and well, and frankly, I think 2018 may be their year. The Tucson Metro Chamber has been a staunch supporter of the mining industry and Rosemont specifically, assuming that they meet all of the requirements put on them by the regulatory agencies, and thus far they seem to be doing that pretty well. So we've been a staunch supporter, and you're right, those are going to be high-wage jobs.
All right, Sarah, we're going to have to wrap it up. Do you have like a yes or no question for Mr. Varney or no?
Nope, I'm all good.
Okay, Sarah, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Mike Varney, all the best to you.
Thank you.
And keep in touch.
Sure will.
All
Thanks,
right.
Bill.
Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News, joins me right after the break. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card?
From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Joining me now in studio, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So we had, first of all, just kind of a quick follow-up to Carl's question about Rosemont, which is now a property of the Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based huge mining group, Hud Bay. A lot of people think that they're going to be moving forward in 2018 is going to be their year.
I would agree with that, and you and I have been following this issue for years.
10 years, maybe.
Yeah, and then when Augusta Resource sold to Hud Bay a couple of years ago, Hud Bay took the tack that they were going to just kind of go fly under the radar. They weren't going to be as out there as Augusta Resource, which may lead to people to believe that maybe it's a dead enterprise. It is not. It's more alive than ever. They're one permit away from getting the approval. Now, there may be challenges in court, but most certainly Hud Bay is moving forward. Rosemont is very much alive, and as I've always said on your show, it's going to open at some point.
You have. You have. That's one thing from the very beginning. You said there would be all sorts of roadblocks. So if the Army Corps, which I believe is the one permit,
right,
if that comes down before the end of the year, you could see Hud Bay move forward with like a groundbreaking, even though there were court challenges.
Right.
Could they do that?
Well, you know, that's a good question, is how far could they go?
Right.
But they have always said, though, that it would take 2 years after the groundbreaking before anything would really be going on there as far as pulling copper from the earth. So,
but symbolically, they may be able to go forward.
Correct.
With that.
And that would probably be enough for them to do it, thinking that they would eventually win all the court challenges.
So we had Bruce Wheeler on last week. We had Ann Kirkpatrick, two of the five candidates. We've had a couple of them on now twice, of the five. And I understand, by the way, Bruce Wheeler said there was a sixth candidate now from Cochise County. Have you heard anything about
that? Oh, yes, I did. In fact, I just heard this yesterday, and I don't know the name, but
right,
that is accurate.
Anyway, so you were covering that event, the most recent get-together that the candidates had at Rincon High. Pretty much everybody's on the same page, with the exception, I think, Bruce Wheeler believes health care for all. Was he the only one that
was
all in on that?
I think a couple of them were actually
saying
that.
What separates these candidates?
Well, there's a good question, and it could come down to just charm. Who do you just like? A lot of them look really good on paper. I thought that maybe a couple of them, quite honestly, shouldn't have been up there on that stage. They were not ready for prime time, as we say. They didn't really have the issues down. But in that format, it's very tough with five people. people, and Jim Ninsel did a terrific job moderating, by the way. It's very tough to go deep on a lot of these issues. So what really does separate these people? Well, a lot, frankly, just tied them together. Probably the most interesting speakers were the ones in the audience who were protesting Ann Kirkpatrick because of a couple of environmental decisions that she had made while in Congress, and they were fairly vocal out there. But I'll tell you what, more than a year before the general election, 10 months before the primary, and you get roughly 400 people in a room,
Yeah. That's
a big deal.
It is a big deal. Of course, the big question now is what happens with Congresswoman McSally. A couple of days ago, USNews.com had that report pretty much all but saying that she was in, that there was a meeting that was held in D.C. with
Correct.
Some top folks, and she had said, supposedly, I hate the House. That was a quote that one of the sources
hadn't heard that one.
said. And so that was in the U.S. News.com article. But now, folks, there's another camp that says maybe she will wait until the seat with the ailing John McCain becomes available.
Right. And, you know, Martha McSally has never been one for drama. She likes to get in there and just get it done. She's very focused and she's very task-oriented and she likes to just get in there. So if she said she hated the House or however she may have worded that, my guess is that it was frustration with how things are not moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they haven't accomplished a lot, but they haven't accomplished a lot on big ticket items this year. And I think that's been real obvious. I think the assumption was that the John McCain thing would probably happen for her, and then Jeff Flake, of course, surprised everybody. And then, of course, we have Kelly Ward out there, Kristen Sinema on the Democrat side. It's going to be very interesting, but I don't know that our 5-CD-2 Democrat folks who were at that forum last week will be facing Martha McSally next year. We'll see.
And then if Martha McSally does jump into the race, then the Republicans supposedly, from what I hear, would turn to Leah Marquez Peterson, who heads up the Hispanic chamber.
Is that
what you're hearing as well?
I had heard that, and mm-hmm. She certainly is a very formidable candidate and is well-respected in lots of circles. So we'll see what happens. I got to tell you, 2018, I told someone the other day, I wish it was over, and it hasn't even begun yet.
Because
it's
a year away.
Yeah, and so much can change politically. I almost didn't even want to go cover the CD2 forum the other day because it's going to look so different next year. But again, you have overwhelming interest in this.
Pima County is in Green Valley this week looking at taking ownership of a closed golf course that could be turned into a park or a public walking path.
Yeah, there is a golf course down there that's been closed for 3 or 4 years, and everyone has kind of known that it was never really going to reopen because we have so many other ones down there. And the county recently received an offer from the owner of that saying, hey, I'm going to give it to you. And the county says, you know what, we're very interested in this. However, we need a partner on this. So they have gone to Green Valley Recreation, which is a nonprofit in our community that runs 13 rec centers, and said, will you consider this? So GVR is doing that. There have been no dollars tied to this thing yet, but right now you have this closed golf course. And I tell you, when nature takes back the land, mm-hmm. it can be an ugly and expensive thing. Now, the interesting thing is that GVR is a private organization it's a member-only organization, but the county has said, if you take this over and we turn it into paths and hiking trails and whatever, it's going to be public. So that might be an issue with its members, is that they're spending their money on something that's a public enterprise. But I think it would be a very good addition to Green Valley. We only have a couple of public parks there. But this is so early in this whole process, but they are down there checking it out because it's kind of a unique situation.
How big or how long a walking path is it?
Well, it's 18 holes, so I don't golf,
okay.
So,
yeah,
so a long one.
Yeah,
so
that'd be good.
Yeah.
The Pentagon, again, is suggesting that females be included in the Selective Service Registration, the draft. Your paper, the Green Valley News, was speaking with some high school girls. What was their reaction?
Well,
about being perhaps drafted eventually.
Yeah, and the Pentagon talked about it last year, and they've been talking about it, you know, fairly recently. And we have seen some interesting strides as far as the military goes and women. A couple of years ago, the Pentagon announced it was opening all combat jobs to women. Just last December, the Army Rangers graduated its first woman. So we've seen these gains. So now people are talking about, well, why don't you register for the draft? These girls, we went to Sarita High School and Walden Grove High School and talked to three girls each at the schools and said, what do you think? Well, the first thing is that they were all relieved to learn that really in the United States, nobody's actually been drafted since 1973. But to register for the draft, which young men have been doing since 80, 81, is what we're talking about here, and that you would be called up upon if you needed it. The answer is they would love to do it. They know that it would be a very tough job. They're not ignorant of the fact that that it takes a special person to serve in our military, particularly if we ever had a combat situation. They were real astute and mature in their answers, and it was very encouraging to see this. But they said, yeah, you know, why wouldn't we be called on? Obviously, you put people in the roles that they can do best, and we would be willing to do that. So it was a very interesting conversation and very consistent answers.
I mean, look at the Israeli army. Everybody has mandatory service. Even those that really can't serve for some kind of physical problem, they are put in hospitals. And I think it's a great idea to have this kind of, for men and young women, both of them have some kind of service.
I have relatives in Israel. My nephew is 15. He'll be going in here in a couple of years and is eager to do so for his country. I was traveling over there once a few years ago, and I was at one of the tourist sites, and there was a bunch of young soldiers there, and I tapped one on the shoulder and said, what are you guys doing here? Mm-hmm. And they said, they're teaching us about our history so we know what we're defending. Mm-hmm. And so for that year and a half or 2 years that they are to serve this compulsory military service, it matures them, it strengthens the body, it gives them a sense of history and loyalty and commitment that they need, particularly when they're surrounded by nations that are not real friendly toward them. So I agree with you. Great idea.
So much confusion, Dan Scheer, about these letter grades that have been issued to schools. We had the TUSD superintendent of Tucson Unified, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, was with us, and it's very discouraging for his district to have so many kind of underperforming schools, these letter grades. How about schools in your area?
Well, you know, we used to have a lot of, you know, A schools, and now you don't. And it's because it's the first year for this program. And again, the schools like to tout these when they look good, and they like to downplay them when they don't come off good. But in this case, a B is almost an A in a mm-hmm. sense, because it's a new program, but they don't quite know how to respond to them. And I will respond the way I always have with these types of things, and that is these grades are an indicator of how a school might be doing, but not the end all. As a parent, get in the school and see for yourself what your kids are learning, how they're learning, and how the teachers are doing.
What was this article that was in the Green Valley News about Title I schools over the past 4 years?
Well, the Arizona Center for Investigative Reporting actually uncovered the fact that Title I money, which goes to low-income students, has been doled out for the past 4 years by the state incorrectly. Most people who received it got way too much. Most agencies, they call them local and education agencies, received way too much money, and over the next few years are going to have to pay it back. Some got way too little money. And I think there's one district up in the Phoenix area that was overpaid about $2 million. So can you imagine paying that back? In our area, the Continental School District, which is a one-school district in Green Valley, was overpaid about $17,000. Doesn't sound like much unless you're a one-school district. And that is a lot of money. The Sarita Unified School District was overpaid about $62,000. It will be determined later this month how that money will be paid back, but it does appear that it will have to be paid back. The amounts were just all messed up, and good work on the part of that news organization uncovering this.
We began our segment with Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun talking about mining, and I want to go back to that. A year ago, Dan, we were talking about losses in the mining industry in the Green Valley area. And I'm wondering, as kind of a follow-up, whatever happened to those particular, I think it was several hundred jobs that would be lost at your mining down there. What happened to that?
Well, what happened was that the prices bounced back, and therefore they put on hold the plan to shut down the mine. Now, shutting it down would have still meant that there were 250 full-time workers down there, but they would be doing no mining. They would just be maintaining the place. But they backed off on that plan, and they had transferred some people out. Others had quit. So they did lose some people, and they, you know, had some layoffs and stuff, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. And I'll tell you this, Bill, about a week and a half ago, I was asked to speak at the last minute, but I'm so glad that they asked me. There was an international mining seminar being held in Green Valley, and so I spoke to about 20 people from 16 nations, and I'm talking all over the world, most from Africa, and we were talking about the role of the media in sharing with people what's going on in your local mines. And it was very interesting that a community newspaper is going to dig deep down into how a mine affects everything from housing sales to education to secondary jobs, everything. And it was just fascinating to talk to these people, what's going on in their countries, what's going on here, and to share our story over the last year. It was a scary experience. Mm-hmm. It was a scary experience because mining in a community like ours affects almost everything.
Mm-hmm. How about air quality?
Well, we just had what we think was an incident down there as far as some of this dust coming off of the mine tailings,
right.
and they're still looking into that. And I will tell you that the mines are generally do a terrific job of staying on top of it and keeping us informed of how they're staying on top of it. But sometimes incidents happen. Sometimes it's just a surprise storm, or there's just a break in protocol or something. But generally speaking, I wish they were a little bit more open with us as far as sharing how some of this stuff happens. But we do eventually find out. But overall, we're not finding anything nefarious going on.
All right, Dan Shearer, the Green Valley News. What should we look for with your weekend papers?
Oh, goodness gracious. We have got an awful lot going on, but the Pecan Festival is coming up on November 11th. So we talked to a man in Sunday's paper who has worked for the Green Valley Pecan Company for about 50 years.
50 years.
And this man has seen a lot of changes in our area. He's fascinating.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Weekend Watch. Matt Russell back from his wonderful trip to France and Spain, and he's all ready to tell us what's going on for the weekend. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select Wholesale Installation Company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR603-05859, enhancedopenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone.
Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
All right, I hear that music. I know it is the weekend on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Not a bad road trip at all, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Silver City, with that vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City has some great restaurants and great art galleries. Check it out. Plenty of accommodations, all of them listed at southwestnewmexico.org, along with all the great recreation opportunities. Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, still has that glow, that vacation glow, after a lovely time in France and Spain. I followed the adventures of you and your lovely bride on Facebook. What a great trip.
I tell you what, it was a life-changing trip, and I'm calling my vacations holidays now. I'm still trying to get into the vocabulary of our friends in Europe, but yes, what a holiday it was. 2 weeks on a food and beverage tour of France and Spain. My wife tells me I have to go on a foie gras fast because I ate so much of it over the last 2 weeks.
Love those champagne toasts. How about a happy hour pick for us?
You know what? I know we typically kick off this segment with an announcement of a new restaurant opening,
yeah,
but today it's a new location for an existing restaurant, and that's got happy hour written all over it. It's the Wild Garlic Grill, which for years served guests at their original location over on First Avenue, but they have moved to the southwest corner of Skyline and Campbell. Same great menu, spectacular new setting, great patio. Happy hour starts today at 4, and you can take an additional dollar off all happy hour dishes and drinks to join in their garlicky celebration.
How about those that love the gelato?
Yeah, you know, I've only been back from my European vacation for a few days, and I'm already going through gelato withdrawals, Bill. So what better time than now for the Gelato Festival American Tour, which makes a stop right here in Tucson this weekend. Starting this afternoon and going through the weekend, gelato chefs from all over the world are going to be convening right here in Tucson. You can go and taste their best. Vote for your favorite. International bragging rights are at stake, so swing by La Encantada this weekend to some of the best gelato you can dip a spoon into.
One of my favorite eateries, Sazerac.
Yeah, you know what? We're all familiar with the English tradition of high tea, right, Bill? That finger sandwich and tea sipping experience that brings out the Brit. in all of us.
You
well,
bet.
Our friends at Sazerac are going to be hosting a Southern version of high tea tomorrow from 2 to 4 at their River and Campbell restaurant. Some of the items that got my attention include the egg, bacon, green onion, and remoulade finger sandwich, the cremini mushroom mini quiche, and I think I'll take some Southern lemon tea cakes for a sweet ending. I think the UK and the U.S. are going to collide tomorrow afternoon at Sazerac's high tea.
What was the highlight of the European vacation for you, Matt?
Yeah, you know what? We had the chance to participate in several cooking classes, Bill, and we were invited into a couple's home to do a tapas cooking class. So we're literally in their dining room helping out, working our way through a seven-course tapas meal. You know, a lot of people think about tapas as appetizers or starters, but folks over in Europe and in Spain, they can make full meals out of these small plates. And hearing about the culture of Spain and how the culinary arts really help to inform the culture there, I came home with a renewed appreciation for the role of food and beverage in the lives of Europeans. I think I just, I'm a new man. It was a life-changing trip.
Oh, sounds great. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
All righty. This Saturday, one more item for your weekend watch, 17th Annual Empire Ranch Roundup and Open House at the Empire Ranch in Southeast Arizona, runs from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, go to empireranchfoundation.org. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music courtesy of Christophon. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. My thanks also to the team here at KVOI, our operations manager and my engineer producer Monday through Thursday and today, Friday as well, Ray Allen. Thank you, Ray. You do a great job. Tom Fairbanks, of course, normally with me on Friday. Producer, our production manager, funny man Jerry Cross, all the front office staff, thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners of the station. Teaming up, everybody does such a great job. We all wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.